Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Candidly with Coffee. You know, it's just never a dull moment around here.
No, this would be like take number three, getting it together for y'all.
I'm sorry. But hey, it beats one of the previous episodes that everybody listened to. At the very beginning, you called me fucking bossy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was probably edgy, snappy, probably, you know, no food in me.
We had a lot of comments about it. I was like, yeah, I left it in. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? It's real life. We get over it quick.
That is one thing about us. And you know what's interesting? Because we're going to talk about letting shit go on today's episode. And that's part of it. And that's kind of how we resolve our conflict. Because we don't hold on to things.
For what? Does you no good? What you going to hold on to it for? I used to try to hold on to shit when I get mad. But what good is that going to do me? Let it go.
Yeah.
Get over it. Move on. That's it. You have your little tiff taff, and that's that.
Yeah, what's the point of holding on to it?
Because people are combative and they want to fight. And I have that in me. I always still want to fight. I have my mother in me. Yeah. I want to battle, but for what? It's not worth it. I don't want to be in a bad state of mind. You know, I'd rather be in a positive flow state, in a good state.
Yeah, you know me. I get over it fast, and I'm like, what are we going to go eat?
Yeah, I know. Food is the answer, right? But look, for other people, it's like, well, let's go get a drink. For us, it's like, let's go get something to eat.
Yeah.
Or go make something to eat.
Exactly. All right, you guys, a little housekeeping. If you're not already following us on Candidly_with Coffee on Instagram, follow us there. We need 1,000 followers over there. Instagram is just so hard to grow.
I know. They're whack these days, man. They're like getting turned into an old dinosaur of a platform. Why is it so hard?
I don't know. And if you're not already subscribed to us on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. And you guys, we have a show on Patreon. And if you think that show on Patreon is just like Candidly with Coffee, it's actually not. We really don't even talk about nutrition and fitness on Patreon.
No, none. We talk about crazy stories and stuff that's way too X-rated for the YouTube platform.
Yeah, more like relationship stuff, yes. Drama, gossip, behind the scenes, what's really happening, that fun stuff. So if you guys are interested in just like juicy, spicy, then head over to...
it's like the ladies... Like you and the ladies who like to watch Bravo TV and watch all the housewife shows, all the drama and spiciness and all that. Well, that's kind of like this channel. We reveal a lot of stuff that we can't say on here.
And what we do is we always do an after show, and then we have a show every Wednesday called Off Topic that lands there. And I love it. Honestly, I love you guys. Okay? I love you guys. But I don't know what it is, but I think Patreon feels like therapy for me.
Yeah, I know, because we get to let loose on it. No filter either.
Yeah, I feel like I just vent. It's like a place to vent and let it out and let it go.
Yep, exactly. No holds barred, you know?
Oh my goodness, you guys, I swear, our lives are just craziness, craziness.
Oh my God, if you guys only knew, it's beyond this, what you guys see on this channel. It's wild. It's a wild ride right now we're on.
It is a wild ride.
Busy AF with all the coaching clients, with podcast, with my own channel, with my own guests. Everything's just like skyrocketing. It's just like it's got off the landing pad and now it's flying in the air.
Yeah. Clients and our team call. And we just have so much going on. And you know what? But nothing makes me happier though than when a coaching client signs up and says, like, hey, I found you guys because we were just talking about this earlier. I'm a listener of Candidly with Coffee, and I've binged your episodes, whatever. I love that. You know why I love that? Because I know that that person knows exactly who we are, knows our style, knows how we operate, how we handle things. And so it's my favorite clients are the ones that come from this show.
You know what it is, too, is people see that we're honest. We're not trying to, like, we tell you how it is straight up. And our coaching style is very upfront. We let you know how it is. But we also let you know, like, listen, man, it's all about food freedom. You know, it's not this, I'm going to eat this and this and that. And it's going to be boring and rigid. No, we're going to have fun doing this as a community. We build a community. You're going to be part of a community where we uplift each other, because you're going to get a lot of backlash, resistance, and a lot of noise and haters on the outside that you're leveling up. And they're stuck behind in the mud. So they're going to try to keep you down there.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So I love that component that we just recently added. And that's huge. And I think it's just what we were missing.
Yes. We added a final piece to the puzzle. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. And I love it. All right, you guys, moving on to this message from 1UP Nutrition. I want to say what I have been loving lately, and it's the Clear Protein. The Clear Protein is a game changer because it's only 80 calories and 20 grams of protein. If you have trouble hitting your protein goal, you need the Clear Protein because you can start the day with 80 calories. It's an appetite suppressant, and you're going to get 20 grams of protein for only 80 calories. It's a win-win.
Always say return on investment on your money. That's a good win-win, you know? 80 calories for 20 grams of protein. Are you kidding me? Especially like if you're running low, like say you ate too many carbs that day and you're running low on protein, you could even double it up if you want and make up for it. There's ways you could play with it.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking the Clear Protein might be a good thing to pack for Miami.
Yes. I was going to tell you that.
Because what happens on vacation is it's hard sometimes to hit your protein goal. So if we start the day off right off the bat, a protein bar and a scoop of Clear Protein, it's boom, 40.
Right off the rip. Yeah. You're right, because in a lot of restaurants, let's be honest, a lot of restaurants don't serve you big portions of meat. You usually have to order extra and pay extra. I always do that for breakfast. I have to order extra eggs, you know?
Yeah. So they have tons of new flavors on the Clear Protein. I actually just got another one, and it's like strawberry margarita or something like that, or strawberry mojito. It's some sort of an alcoholic beverage. So since we're not going to be drinking in Miami, maybe we can have a Clear Protein mocktail instead.
I just got an idea. You just gave me an idea because you're the queen of like making things so delicious. We should make like a mocktail, a smoothie at home, like show like blueberries, strawberries, mango, something with that, you know.
But you know what I was actually thinking I wanted to try with the Clear Protein? I haven't done it yet because it's flavored, right? I wonder if it mixes well in yogurt. Like almost give it like a Yoplait, but add protein.
Dude, you're right, because the yogurt it's non-flavored.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Light bulbs going off. Yeah. See, you guys, this is how we teach you how to play around with things like
play
that.
Play around.
And make it work. And she's the one that taught me, honestly, gave me up with that, yogurt, adding scoops of protein, and then off the rip, I have like 2 scoops of protein with yogurt. I have almost 70 grams of protein because I eat a lot more than she does right off the rip, you know, so it saves me a lot of calories for the rest of the day to eat solid food because I'm a big eater, and I love that. I just love the way we play around with it, man. It's like a game that I enjoy. That's what my boy says, my boy Lowe. He goes, I love this game. It's easy. Once you learn it and you start mastering it, it's so easy.
I know, it is.
If people just took the time, like, it's so easy as kids play.
All right, you guys, moving on to a hold my coffee. We got a hold my coffee comment in the house. It is S. Bako Boski 9511. To be honesty,
okay.
I would never take advice from the two of you. Neither of you look healthy.
Hey. Go ahead. Go take advice from the obese person, the 300
pounder. No, you can't say that word. It's been deemed a bad word.
Oh, my bad.
Can't say it.
Larger folks?
I don't know. You just can't say
it. Oh, my God. Hey, I think I told you this. I try to put it in the comments on Instagram as to something. I was referring to something. They flagged the comment a little bit.
Yeah,
I take the word
out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I mentioned it.
So what does it mean now? What's it deemed? Is it an evil word? Or is this we're speaking the truth and I don't want it?
I don't know. It's weird. It's like, can you say skinny?
All day long?
You could still say skinny, but you can't say obese.
We're not shaming.
You say very skinny, but you still can't say obese? I don't know.
It's weird. So this person would have taken advice from us. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Moving on to a hot coffee topic. Melissa McCarthy. She was posting something like on Twitter or something. And Barbara Streisand replied to her comment and said, did you take Ozempic?
You saw that?
Full blow just came out right out and asked her because she lost a bunch of weight. And she's just like, hey, did you take Ozempic? Like, no big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And the internet just went fucking crazy about it.
Did it? Like, in which way?
Yeah, like why? Like that was an inappropriate question.
I mean, she just wants to know the truth. Won't you just be honest? Like, yes, I did it. You know what? This was kind of reminding me of a little bit. It might not be the same thing, but it's kind of reminding me of the dudes in the 90s, babe, when I was in the gym. And I knew what they were on. I knew who's on. But they still play stupid like they're natural. Like, bro, who are you fooling? You're not natural. Even now, some guys pretend they're natural. Like, bro, come on. You just be honest. Like, we're honest about what we take. Nothing wrong with that.
It's not the protein powder, bro.
No, it's not the protein powder, bro. You didn't get that big that fast in that short amount of time without testosterone, homeboy. Come on. I know better. I've been around the game too long.
Yeah, but speaking of that, I also saw on that same token, Heather Gay from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City has come out now and say, hey, yes, I have been on Ozempic and that's why I lost the weight. I've lied about it before, but it is what it is. She goes, you know what I've realized? I realized that body positivity is a lie. Okay. I tried to be like the body positivity girl. I was miserable. It's a lie. You know, I got on Ozempic because I was tired of being 20 pounds heavier than everybody in the room.
And this is what we always say. I don't care. You can say you love yourself. You can say, I love myself. I love my body. I love this. It's not. You're lying to yourself. You look at yourself every day in the mirror and wish you were in shape. You look at people on online fitness influencers and you're envy. You're just lying to yourself. You're not being truthful. It's the truth. I've done it. Like, oh, man, I want to look jacked. I want to look lean. And now I look at myself and I took advice from somebody. Create the man you admire and show him to the world. And that's what I did. I ran with it. And now I'm happy and proud of what I built.
Yeah, I mean, nobody has ever said, damn, I'm really pissed that I freaking got shredded. Like, I regret that. Never.
Not never in the history of not never.
Never.
Never them. Ever.
Never.
Same thing, like, it might not be the same thing, but same thing when you go to the gym. You might not be happy to go. You might be like, I'm not in the mood. But when you leave there and you killed a good workout, you're like,
well, yeah, nobody's ever regretted a workout. Regret a workout. You never regret.
Never.
And you know what's so funny? I love this too. When people are worried, like, oh, I might get too skinny. Like, I know your friends have said that, like, oh, but I might be too skinny at that weight. Like, hey, guess what? God. We know how to gain it back if you want to gain some back.
Yeah, bro.
It's not hard. We can gain some weight back. If you get there and you think, man, I'm a little too skinny. You can gain the weight back. Never happens, though.
Bro, you're too, without being a dickhead, you're too fat. You know what I'm saying? The honest truth. You got too much body fat. What do you, these dudes, man, not, I know women aren't worried, but a lot of these guys are so worried about the scale.
Yeah.
It's hilarious about their weight on scale.
Oh, my goodness. All right, you guys. Moving on to Comment Corner. We need some cheers. My buttons are all messed up, but let's get some cheers.
Hey.
All right. This comment comes to us from K Paz. The saying a hit dog will holler is definitely applicable here because you are 100% right about those giving you blowback. Deep down, they know it's true. And marijuana withdrawal is very real. I was a daily smoker for 3 years and quit in February to see if it was affecting my lack of progress in the health and fitness goals. It was. I went through a similar withdrawals for a month, but it was well worth it not to be a slave to a substance anymore. You are speaking the truth about alcohol too, and some people just aren't ready or don't want to hear it because to them, that means they have to acknowledge reality and change. P.S. I am a relatively new subscriber, about a month, and I originally subscribed because I'm 43 in perimenopause and trying to get back in shape. And Janine, you came up in my recommends. I am so grateful because you have already helped so much with food, health, lifestyle tips, and I'm loving these combos between y'all. Keep speaking the truth and bringing the great content. Love from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey, shout out Charlotte, North Carolina.
That was such a good comment, and we got a lot of these comments of people who quit smoking weed and had similar withdrawal symptoms. So why do people still insist that you're not addicted to weed? When people say it, everyone says when they quit, they go through withdrawals.
I'll give you an answer. In my former community of weed smokers, me being one, is they love to justify this was a plant put on earth by God. This is God's plants, God's medicine. I need it. Okay, cool. You need it. But at the same time, it's still a drug, bro. Your mind still gets altered, bro. I've been there. You're not sober, homie. You know, there's a reason why it's illegal to smoke weed and drive, get behind the wheel, because you're not all there.
I think she touched on a good point, though. She said that people get defensive because they're not ready to hear it. I agree with that because you got defensive when you weren't ready to hear it.
I did. I got mad at you.
Yeah.
You know, you caught me red-handed. And, you know, and it's the same thing all the way around. People with alcohol, with food, with everything, people get so defensive and mad. But you know why I was defensive? Because you were right.
Exactly. You're right.
I'm really not mad at you. I'm really mad at me. I point the finger at you, but there's three fingers pointing back at me. See?
Of course. And I think that's like that in many cases. If it strikes a nerve in you, it's because deep down something is triggered in you because you're bothered. Same with like weight loss and all of that. Like, I'm happy with how I am. Then why are you upset? Then this message wasn't for you if you're happy.
Bingo, exactly. This message, if you're happy, And why are you so triggered?
Yeah, because I'm talking to the people who are not happy. I'm not helping people lose weight who want to stay where they are.
Exactly.
They're not coming to me. I'm helping the people that are unhappy that want to do something about it. Those are the people that I'm helping. Those are the people that are listening to us, not the people that don't want to change. It's the people that want to change and they want tips and tricks on how to do it.
There's a reason for that. We're not in the business say, oh, we're going to coach you. Just stay where you're at so you're happy. Sorry, we're not in that business. We're in a different business. We're in the business of flipping you. And part of flipping you is flipping your mindset, helping you build that discipline, having food freedom, and feeling better about yourself and happy at the person you're looking at in the mirror eventually. You know, like, okay, we did it.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to the next comment. Nancy Green, 865. As a nurse for lots of years, patients who drink daily one or two drinks when in the hospital actually have withdrawal symptoms. We see elevated blood pressure and heart rate when they were first admitted. There was no sign of that. So yes, I agree. This affects your body like taking a drug. Ask any nurse this. Love you guys for being real. Yes, when you were in the hospital, the guy next to you was having withdrawals from his alcohol. Remember, I thought like his family was even going to like try to smuggle him in some drink. They brought wine.
You caught him?
Yes, they brought wine because he was having withdrawals from his nightly wine and it was affecting him.
Want to know something crazy, babe? Is you didn't even tell me to do this. Out of nowhere, I just said, I don't want to drink anymore. Probably saved my life.
Yeah.
You know, I just gave up alcohol. Alcohol is one of the worst things you could for a stroke, for high blood pressure. Uh-huh. I didn't even realize it. Yeah. I just gave it up. I don't need this no more. It's not conducive to my health. And eventually I led into giving up weed. It's like everything was just meant to be.
Yeah. It was weird. It's like something was telling you, like, you better get ready because something's coming.
Yes, without it telling me. Something was telling me, and something instinctually, internally, I knew that I wanted to live a life of pure sobriety. Like, I had enough. Like, I'm older. I had enough. What am I doing? I'm not a kid anymore. What are we doing, you guys? Some of you guys are almost 50 or over 50. You're still partying like you're teenagers.
It's like an awakening. And I'm so glad that I had that awakening.
You too? Because. Yeah. When we first dated, you were like a social drinker. You liked to have fun. Mm-hmm. You were responsible. You never got like out of your mind or crazy. And fast forward to today, I didn't tell you to do it. You just decided one day, I just don't want to have a drink anymore.
Yeah. And you guys, you just heard that episode I had with Ophelia. That was Friday's episode. And man, that hit home for me. I don't know if you guys could tell my expression when she said that she's been a social drinker her whole life. And suddenly she was going through some stuff in life and something switched in her when she had a shot of vodka that was different than ever before, where she thought, oh, this is going to make my life easier. It was like a total shift. And then from that point on, she was addicted to alcohol, like was an alcoholic.
If you're listening to this, Ophelia, I feel you on that, but in a different manner, not with alcohol, with weed. I felt like weed made my life easier, made my life more calming, calmed my ADHD down. Did everything. But in turn, I was lying to myself. Not at all. It made it worse.
No, but what that made freaked me out when she said that was, I'm like, that could have been me. Because I started drinking for different reasons. Before I quit, I was starting to drink for different reasons than I ever have before in my life. I've never been somebody that drink my sorrows or whatever. But I would start wanting that Saturday to come so that I could have my drinks because I had such a stressful week with my dad. Yeah. That was a bad pattern that I was creating.
That's true. You used to talk about it. Like, I can't wait to Saturday have my sangria or my weekly drink. We both used to look forward to it. Mm-hmm. We both, you know, we'd have Saturday date day and we would both go out to have a nice lunch and have our spicy jalapeno margaritas or your sangria.
But guess what? We still have our date nights. We have a great old time and not a cocktail or wasted calorie from those cocktails that we need. We still have a great time.
Not only that, hitting the gym the next day, not feeling sluggish, not feeling tired, still doing what we're supposed to. That's holding you back, you guys. You don't realize it, but give it up. Just give it up for a month. Challenge yourself and see how good you feel. Then 2 months, 3 months, 4 years, you know, you're like, I don't need this. My life's so much better. Mm-hmm. Your skin will feel better. Your frequency will feel better. Just pay attention.
All right, moving on to the next comment. Keita Spriggs, always love y'all's transparency. I've definitely noticed a difference in not drinking. And like you, it wasn't even excessive. But the older I get, the less my body can tolerate it. And I had to be honest with myself. Thanks for discussing this topic.
I like that, man. I like that people giving their perspective. Mm-hmm. Their feedback, because, you know, we're all different. We all have different experiences with it. But it all comes down to what? One thing. We all feel better that we gave it up. We have no regrets.
Yeah. And the interview with Ophelia was eye-opening. I'm actually going to have her back on the show because she has a lot more that she's experienced. There was a lot more we didn't have time to tap into. And she's going to come back and share more here on Candidly with Coffee and even more on Patreon. But I'm looking forward to having her. But man, that was a... It was just like a wake-up call that I've always thought, I could never get addicted. I don't have an addictive personality. I don't have a problem with alcohol. But to me, after that episode, I felt like, shoot, I can't. It can happen. You cannot say that it can't happen to you. That's one of the biggest mistakes that you can make. You have to realize it can.
I'm living proof. I was overconfident. Look at what happened mm-hmm. to me. Something different, different substance, but I was right. overconfident. Look what happened to me. Almost cost me my life, you know?
Right. All right, you guys, moving on. MegaFit Meals. Let's talk about MegaFit Meals for a second. They have been a lifesaver for me lately when my life has been so friggin' busy. It's just sometimes I just do not have time to cook, and to have a macro-friendly meal available at any time is a game changer to stay on track.
The best, because sometimes we'll be honest, we do cook a lot. We make a lot of home food, but sometimes we're both tired from recording podcasts, doing lives, talking to you guys. We get home and we're just like, listen, heat it and eat it real easy. You have to be realistic in life. Or this is another thing, a tip that I give my clients. If you're going to be on the road or go somewhere, like say you're going to do a road trip, get a cooler, have them frozen, mm-hmm. put them in your cooler, thaw them. They're going to thaw out over time. There's many gas stations along the highway with microwaves. Just throw your thing in the microwave and heat it. That way, don't get tempted to eat mm-hmm. out or eat fast food because it's so easy.
Yeah, and the thing I love about MegaFit meals is they're really volume meals, and they easily fit into your macros because they have tons of protein. They're yes. all real food, like it's not like processed no. food or whatever. It's very high quality and delicious. I get a delivery every Friday, and I look forward to it every single Friday. And they change the menu up here and there. They don't require a subscription, which I love, because what happens when you get a subscription? The meals pile up.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you. There was a meal that I was kind of like a little hesitant to eat because I'm a little weird with meat. And I had a filet and tortellini yesterday. And let me tell you, that filet was fire. I was kind of like, how's this steak going to reheat?
Yeah, you weren't. My God. No wonder, because I kept telling you to try that one because it's freaking delicious.
Oh, my God. It's fire. All their stuff, their breakfast, their snacks, everything so far has been hitting.
Yeah, I've been really happy with it. Like, I wouldn't be promoting them if I weren't happy with it. I tell my clients about it. Like, I have lots of my clients. Heather, who I just posted her transformation on Instagram, she relies on them quite a bit because she's busy. She's a mom. She's working full time. She doesn't have time to prep. And it's easy because once you add the macros into your app, and then every time you order that same meal, you've already got the macros. Just plug and play.
Easy. Freaking easy. You almost make it like, you can't even fail. It's all on you if you fail. There's no failure.
Yeah.
It's all on you, being lazy.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's a perfect segue into what I want to talk about today, because we have so many tools. We have so many things we have coaches, we have apps, we have the internet, we have so many tools at our fingertips, but yet people still struggle with success and moving forward and mastering themselves.
They do. It's crazy. And I always say this, is like, why do you put so much energy into other things that aren't so valuable, like your health? Like, put value into this. Take the time. Put energy into it. Because when you do, when you figure this out, a light bulb is going to go off, and you're going to be like, why didn't I do this sooner? I've said it. Many people I've taught said it. They're like, oh, my God, what? I wish I knew this 20 years ago. But here we are now, 2024. You got apps. You got meal preps.
Coaches.
You got coaches. It's almost, you can't fail. It's all on you. If you fail, that's all on you. It's not your coaches. It's all on you.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times it's people are, and that's what another thing I want to talk about today is like, they are making excuses for why they can't, because they always have this going on, or this trauma, or this life problem, or this, issue. And none of that stuff is going to, you got to let that stuff go.
You do. And let me tell you something. Okay, everybody has trauma. Everybody's been through shit in life. What's that got to do with you? What's that got to do with you adhering to a program?
Right.
Regardless if it's never going to go away, you learn to live with it. We all have trauma. We all lost a loved one. Something has happened in our life. Some of us have been in places where it's like, your mind, there's no coming back from. Some of us have been in war. But guess what? You got to put that behind you. Mm-hmm. You got to go forward in life. can't live in the past.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, everyone has a laundry list of traumas and dramas in their life. Like, you know, for example, just us over the past couple of years have been through hell and back.
Oh, yeah.
As recently as just 2 months ago. What, 2 months ago when you had your stroke? 3 months ago?
3 months ago I had a stroke. How scary was that for you as my wife? You know, you saw me. We had to call 911 in the middle of the night. How scary was that for you? Thinking like, this could be the last time I see my husband when they're wheeling me out of the... I didn't think that, but you thought
did.
That.
I 1,000% did. I was like, you can ask Lisa, because I thought, oh my God, like my whole life is about to change. I thought you were having a stroke in the freaking back of the ambulance because you were throwing up right when they were pulling you in there. But here's the thing. So much stuff has happened in the past 2 years that has been one thing after another.
Yes,
if we allowed those things to derail us permanently, not to say that they don't derail you temporarily, everything will kind of like, oh, there's a blip on the radar, you know, a little
bump
temporary.
In the road.
Right.
Always. It's life.
But here we are sitting here after 2.5 years of the very difficult years, especially for me. With my mom and the dogs and my dad and all this.
Oh, yeah.
Your stroke and everything else.
You took a beating.
I should be obese. I'm sorry, the bad word, the bad O word, but I should be. I should be overweight. I should be out of shape. I should be an alcoholic.
I was about to say that. Could have done all that.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do after your mom died, passed away? You got up that Monday morning and I didn't, nothing for me. You got up and you went to the gym. Mm-hmm. You know, you needed therapy.
Mm-hmm. I did.
After Karma passed away, your dog, your baby.
Yeah. I cried in the parking lot, bawled my eyes out in the parking lot of an Orange Theory before walking in. And I remember like trying really hard not to cry during class, several times.
That's fresh trauma. Your mother passed away Saturday night. What was that, Friday or Saturday night?
She passed away on a Saturday night.
You were at the gym
Monday morning.
You know how hard that is to do that?
But I decided, I told myself, when she dies, I'm going to give myself one day to just sulk in it. Not that I would give myself one day to grieve. I still grieve every day. But I have to learn to grieve. It's like you learn to dance with a limp.
Yes, that's true. Well, I mean, even me right now, just thinking about what you went through and then the thought passed my mind, my mother passed on. I'm getting all watery, right? You know what I'm saying? Been almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But what did I do after? I kept on training. I had my old coach on recently and he asked me, you want to take a break, man? You want to go? I want to keep going.
Yeah. And I think that's what the message is. The message is life is going to life. I just actually told someone I was talking to, she's thinking about signing up as a one-on-one client. And she said, yeah, but it's like not the best time for me right now because I have this going on and that. I'm like, life will always life. Life always. Is lifing 24/7.
Yeah. It's never going to go away. And I thought about something today. I was talking to my buddy Los, and I was telling him how, man, I was mad at my wife because after I try to unalive myself, like a week or so later or 2 weeks later, we end up at the gym, and I'm like, the fuck are we doing here? I don't want to be here. I was kind of mad at you. Like, why didn't you bring me here? You were. But you did it on purpose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I needed that therapy. And guess what brought me back to life, you guys? It always goes back to the gym. Nothing to do with physical fitness or aesthetics. It's for the mind, getting my mind back to
I remember when I was like Hawkeyes on you for a while, but
yeah.
I was watching you and you were kind of like wandering around aimlessly.
I was. I didn't know what to do. Like, this is my house.
Yeah.
The gym is my house. This is my, I've been.
And then I remember, gosh, you know what? My memory is crazy sometimes for certain things because I remember driving home from the gym that day. And I even remember where we were on the drive home. We were getting on the on-ramp to get back on the freeway to go home.
Uh-huh.
And I said, someday you're gonna tell this story. There,
yeah.
We talked about it, and then I remember
did I say to you? Do you remember? Because I feel like I was.
You said I feel like a failure, and then I also said, you know, you don't have to be because you were stressed about finances and like how are you ever gonna like be able to support me? And you were bringing up finances, and I said, you don't have to be the breadwinner. Like, we're a team.
But as a man, it distracted because as a man, I feel like that's my role.
And that was the conversation we were having in the car on the way home from the gym that day. I think that being at the gym and the way you felt like a fish out of water, you felt like, oh, fuck, like, this is bad. Like, I'm never going to get back to what I was. And so I was trying to, like, uplift you. And I said, and someday you're going to be able to, you're going to get past this and you're going to be able to tell this story. And you looked at me like, who's going to, what do you mean? mean tell the story? What are we going to tell the story?
Yeah. I was like, who's going to want to listen to this story?
You didn't understand.
Who's going to listen to the story of this loser, this dude who tried to take his own life? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But again, there's a lot of hurt people out there who are thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's light at the end of the road. You don't have mm-hmm. to go down that road. Mm-hmm. You could catch yourself before you go down that road.
But then here's the thing, and this is why what I want to emphasize in this episode is those things are life experiences. Everybody's going to have many of those, and you can use them as like fuel. You can use them to help people. There's so much power in those things. Like, I know a lot of the interviews you've been having, it's been the same message from a lot of the people you've been interviewing on Esco Elite Mindset.
Yes.
It's turn your pain into power.
Yes.
You
turn
know?
Your pain into power.
And I think it's that's huge. So, but you have to let it go in order to be able to harness it as something that's powerful.
Yeah.
But you have to let the shame go, the living in the past. You got to let it go. You can't live there. It's already happened. It's gone.
It's done.
It's done.
You're right.
You cannot live back there. You have to live in the present and plan for the future and look ahead to the future. There is no benefit to reliving what could have been, what should have been, what, you know, it is what it is. And it's not going to change. That's a guarantee. It's not going to change.
Nah. And you told me this too. You said something that stuck with me. It's like, the universe kept me here for a reason, so you could tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people need to hear this. And I used to think, like, again, you said, I was like, who the hell wants to hear this shit? Who wants to hear about this negative bullshit and woe me, or I try to do this? I felt like such a failure and loser. But again, I eventually turned that pain into power.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, I survived this. I'm meant to be here.
Yeah.
And then the beast started coming back out of me, like, oh, okay, I'm stronger than I thought I was.
You know what I'm saying? See that mindset shift too? Because there was a time right after where you thought, I am such a loser that I couldn't even accomplish that.
It's true,
because
you guys.
It's not true. I mean, he didn't back out of it. I mean, he tried and it didn't work. You know, you were found alive, luckily.
Yeah.
But you even thought, I'm such a freaking loser that I couldn't even do that right.
I did.
You see that difference? And now you think differently. Now you think, hell yeah, like, I survived that shit. I'm a survivor. See how it's the same thing.
Yes.
It's the same situation.
Yep.
Looked at it from two different perspectives.
Yes.
You let the traumas go and you've harnessed what happened and used it as your fuel, as your power.
Yes, exactly. Now it's my power, you know? And like we talked about my stroke earlier 3 months ago, you were worried about, oh shit, is my husband going to get back down in a deep, dark place mentally?
Yeah.
But I had the opposite. If you see my video I just posted on Instagram, mm-hmm. I was like, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this, motherfuckers. I'm bouncing back. Yeah. Watch this. Watch this. This ain't going to knock me down for long. And what did I do? 2 weeks later or so after my stroke, I was back in the gym slowly. And about a month or so back into it, I was already back at it hard, you know, because I didn't let that knock me down for too long. I was like, I use that as power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, feel like, okay, you came for me. It's not my time yet. I'm here.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, I think that's what people do. They swim in the pool of the
victimhood.
Shit that's happened to them.
Victimize
but guess
themselves.
What? You're not special. Everybody has the worst of shit that happens to them.
Everybody. They got worse shit than you. You want to hear other people's stories? There's some crazy shit out there. If you hear the stories of what people have gone through. You think your stuff is bad or, oh, I went through this and my life's so bad. There's people that have gone through stuff way worse than you.
It's because I feel
always.
Like, you know, I just personally feel like people use it as an excuse as to why they're not
always
mastering themselves or whatever. But at the end of the day, I feel like it is everybody's obligation to themselves and to their loved ones and their families to master themselves. Everybody should master themselves.
Everybody. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to the gift of life. You
mm-hmm.
were given the gift of life. You guys, millions of little fishies fought to get to the egg to become you. You
mm-hmm.
won. You beat mm-hmm. everybody. Think about how strong you are. You beat everybody. Everybody
mm-hmm.
has a beast inside of them. They're locked in a cage. You're holding that person back. You got to let it out. You have that. There's no special genetics me and her possess. It's all here. The power is in here. You just have to believe in yourself and you have to want it.
You know, a lot of times, I mean, I have conversations with people a lot these days, especially, and I feel like their words and their energy don't match a lot of times.
Facts.
So like they'll say, you know, I'm happy. I mean, I'm happy with myself. but I don't feel the energy of that happiness.
And how you said that right now, you almost said it how they say it, and you look down. A lot of them always look down.
Yeah.
If you're so happy, why aren't your chest up? Why aren't you like, yeah, I'm happy. I'm a beast. I'm this. It's a different frequency. We could tell. You can't lie. Yeah. You're lying to yourself.
I get that, you know, like if I'm especially one-on-one, like in a room with somebody, I pick up on it. I am an energy person. If I'm in the same room, that's why I like if I'm in the same room, but that's also why that is also because I have that sensitivity to people's energy. That's also why I need to recharge away from people.
Yeah.
Because a negative energy sources will drain me. Like that's what happened with my dad. It was like a literal thing that would happen to me. When I would walk into his house every day, it felt like I was plugging into the matrix and it would zap me of my battery. And then I would go home and I would have nothing left.
You know what it felt like? Because I saw it from the outside. Felt like you were going to jail real quick to go serve some
time. That's what it felt like.
Felt like you were going to jail to go serve like half a day sentence or whatever. And then you came home and you brought that energy. We felt it. Me, your son, we felt the energy. Now, you're a totally different person. You're like on a different stratosphere now.
And again, it's one of those things. It's traumatic. It's sad. It's sad and traumatic. But I'm using it as it's more experience in my life. It's more things I can speak to. It's more things I can help counsel, you know, my clients with who might be going through the same thing or a similar situation in their life. So I like to think of the negative things in my life. There's going to be something positive that's coming
always,
out of this.
Always, always.
Rather than hold on to it, feel sorry for myself about it.
Yep.
Use it as an excuse to not be successful, to not pursue goals, to not pursue dreams because all these things happen to me. Instead of doing that, I choose to use it and harness it. Like you said, turn pain into power. Yeah. And I feel like that is my superpower.
It is. It is. Same thing. I use my prison experience as like a superpower. Why? Because I was somewhere that I had to be that I couldn't leave. And instead of it was a negative situation, I turned into a positive. I learned some things about myself, you know? It made me another case of adversity that I conquered, went through. And I learned a lot from that experience, you know? Mm-hmm. Looking back, like, okay, it prepared me for where I'm at now.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, I'm sure it sure as hell didn't feel positive in the moment. But,
no.
But sometimes even in the moment, I've become good or better at recognizing that this is a really freaking terrible situation right now, but eventually there's going to be positives that come out of this.
Yeah. You always say that. You're good at that.
Yeah.
Even when I didn't see it, and even when I was in my negative shit, swimming in my own woe me and life sucks and blah, blah, blah. You're like, don't worry, baby. You're going to come out the better end. You're going to come out strong. You're going to tell this story. We're going to have a podcast someday, which look where we're at now. And you're right. Everything came to fruition.
And listen, it's not about like this whole woo-woo magic powder potion.
No.
I am a manifester for sure. But it's basically the way I look at it and the way I explain it is I'm programming. I'm the owner of this machine, right? My body. I own this shit. I run it.
Yep.
So I program my brain. Like, hey, just to let you know, this is where we're going.
Yes.
This is the vision. This is where we're going. And then my brain helps put the pieces together.
Yes.
Like, all right, well, if that's the vision, then you're going to get your ass up at 4 a.m. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to get out of your shell. You're going to stop drinking alcohol. And all the pieces start to fucking, you know, come together to make that vision a reality. It's not magical. I've got to do the work to get to the vision. But it's like you're pre-programming your brain. The problem with most people is they're programming their brain with the wrong shit. They're programming their brain. I'm a loser. I'm busy. I'm lazy. I'm miserable. I'm stressed. All these negative things are happening in my life, and this is why I can't be successful. No, but it's what you're telling yourself, because all these negative things are still happening in my life too. I have lots of negative things in my life. Not everything is hunky-dory.
No.
You know? My family blew up this year. Literally, my blew up. We were very, very close-knit whole life. And it blew up. The relationships with siblings are kind of weird. We're all separated. We don't do family function. That's a big, freaking traumatic thing that happened.
Yeah.
But I'm not letting it derail me from my goals. And I'm not pretending either. I don't pretend. It is what it is. What you see on social media, it's not my highlight reel. It is my real life. I share a lot. But I choose to be happy regardless, to pursue goals regardless, to pursue dreams, to master myself regardless, to get excited about things like Miami. And you do the same. You have enough shit on your plate too.
Exactly. And here's the thing is about manifestation, you guys, and visualization. Don't think that you're going to read all these self-help books and you're going to be motivated and positive, and all of a sudden you're sitting on your couch and things are just going to fall in your lap. That's not the way it works. Yeah. You got to do the work.
Yeah.
You got to do the work. There's no, you can go to all the David Goggins seminars. You can go to all the, I'm going to get you fired up. You can have Coach Janine and Mike coaching you guys. But if you don't do the goddamn work, mm-hmm. it's not going to work. That's just the way it is. You got to put in the work.
Yeah. So it's kind of like this. Get the message and then execute. Don't have to get a big message.
No.
Don't get the whole message. Don't fucking try to change everything overnight. Get something and execute immediately and teach yourself that you can execute. Teach yourself that you have the ability to take a little bit of this. Okay, I'm going to go work on this. Because the problem is, don't you feel like people, they try to gather too much information all the time? They're just like gatherers of information, but they don't actually do shit with it.
They don't execute. You know, they're actually, you're right.
I know you're good at that. I feel like lately when you've opened your brain to learning new things, like you'll be like, okay, show me how to do this one little thing and I'm going to go figure it out. I'm going to go master that and then I'll come back for more.
Yep.
I've seen you doing that recently.
That's the only way to do it. That's the way my brain works. I can't do, if I try to do five different things at once, it's not going to work.
Or learn too much at once.
Too much.
You know, it's like, okay, show me how to use this Apple MacBook Pro. No, you say, show me how to copy and paste.
Yes.
Now let me practice copying and paste it. I'll let you know when I'm ready for something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Little things at a time.
I just feel like it kind of, to be honest, it's kind of a pet peeve of mine when I see people constantly reading those books. They post all these fucking quotes or whatever. But then I see them and I'm getting in the room with them and their energy is not matching these quotes and these memes and all the shit that they post. I'm like, there's a major disconnect here. You're better off don't post the quotes and the memes and the self-help books, but focus on fixing yourself, figuring out what is it that ails you, what is holding you back. That's the kind of thing we talk through lately. Yeah. That's going to be our focus, real focus with our team calls is I want to know what is holding you back. The macros and all that shit, that's the easy part.
No, it's easy. What's holding you back? Who are you? And where do you want to go? Who is the individual inside of you? Who are you? You need to figure that out. And you need to find out, where is it that you want to go? What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. But you got to, like you said, you got to have a plan. And you got to execute. You can't just be, again, having coaches, reading all these self-help books. And no, that's not.
No.
It's not going to work.
It doesn't. It's too much. You got to take it one thing at a time. But the biggest thing I would say is stop lying to yourself.
Yes. Everybody lies to themselves.
I've been saying this for a lot of years. I feel like people try to convince themselves that they don't want it, that they don't care, that they don't want it, but they're lying.
A friend of mine just said that. This fool said, oh, man, and you know, my something about dad bought this. And they go, I look pretty good for having a dad buy this and that. I go, you're lying to yourself, bro. Mm-hmm. You're lying to yourself.
The energy doesn't match the words.
You just don't want to do the fucking work.
Yeah.
You know you want to be lean and ripped like you were in your younger years. Mm-hmm. Just because you're older now, now you're using that. You're hiding behind dad bod. So when did men get pregnant and conceive? Because that's an excuse. Women have an excuse when they gain weight.
Yeah.
You guys get pregnant. Yeah, we don't. So no. What's the man's excuse? Somebody posted that. I was like, that's a good point. It's calling dudes out. You're over here accepting dad bod like you have the right to. No.
I want to leave people with. So if there are truly people, if you're really happy with where you're at, you haven't mastered yourself, but you're happy with where you're at. If there was a green pill and a red pill, and the green pill is shredded, fit, like 1% physique, and the red pill is to stay exactly how you are because you're happy, and they were free, would you take the red pill or would you take the green pill?
Yeah, exactly.
Be honest with yourself. Yeah. Because if the answer is the green pill, then you're not happy with yourself. You want that. You just don't want to put the work in to get that.
Yeah. You want to put 10 excuses before that pill for you not to get to that, to get to the work. And your dream body. You know you want a dream body. So stop fooling yourself.
So you don't want to do the work. So if you don't want to do the work on mastering yourself, what do you want to do the work on? Do you want to do the work on your relationship? Do you want to do the work on your job? Or are you just okay with being average?
Exactly. Why be average? Why do you want to be 99% of the population? And not only that, why does it matter so much? People are like, well, it doesn't matter. It's not about fitness and looks and this. Yes, it does matter. Because guess what? When you're happy and you're glowing, your frequency is high, that means you're going to be happy in your relationship. You're going to have a better relationship with your mate. You're not going to be angry and bickering and
pissed
off.
Better relationship with your kids. Better relationship with your friends. Better relationship with strangers.
Yes, exactly.
All the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Better business relationships.
Yes.
Better everything. It's not just about aesthetics. It's about what it does to you.
Yes.
But I don't know. That's what we're here. Our message is always the same. Listen, our message has not changed.
No.
You can go back and watch us in the whatever location we were at. We're spewing the same shit.
Same shit.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we will see you on the next one.
Yeah.